Father, we have gathered this morning to worship you. And the words that we have just shared together, nothing but the blood of Jesus. And when we stop and we ponder that phrase, it is because of the blood of Jesus that we gather. It's because of the blood of Jesus that we have forgiveness. It's because of the blood of Jesus that all guilt has been removed and that we can live with hope. Father, thank you for the privilege it is to gather and worship you. Thank you for every person who's here. I pray, Lord, now that you'd speak to our minds and hearts, continue to challenge us in our journey to become like Christ. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Morning. We're going to be in Colossians 3, 16 and 17. If you need a Bible, just slip a hand up. We've got some ushers coming down the aisles. They'd love to get one in your hands. You can borrow it this morning. Colossians 3, 16 and 17. We are starting a three-week series called Gathered and Scattered. It's a little bit different than normal, so to speak, because we're going to have different people up here on stage here in just a little bit. And over the course of the next 3 weeks, you'll get a chance to meet all of the members of the MLT, we call it, Ministry Leadership Team, Colossians 3, 16, and 17. A common question, I think, that gets asked in businesses is this question. What are we in the business of doing? In other words, what are we all about? Why do we exist? I think if you're a business, you deal with those kinds of questions. Well, as a church, of course, we're not a business. There are business aspects to a church. We're not a business, but we still have to wrestle with those kinds of questions. And I asked that question to our MLT, and it created some lively conversations. And ultimately, as we discussed that question, we came to the resolution that we ultimately agreed that we are in the business of gathering to make and equip disciples who scatter to make and equip disciples. So in other words, we are in the business of reaching the lost. I was just having a conversation with somebody after the first service, and we were talking about this aspect of reaching the lost. Man, if we're not reaching the lost, what are we doing? Why are we here? And that needs to become the heartbeat of Bethel Church and continue to be the heartbeat of Bethel Church, that we would have this great desire, this hunger, this passion to reach lost people. By consistently sharing the message of hope, the gospel, and building up the believer through worship and through the teaching of the word, as you may or may not know, we have been working hard at refining our mission and vision over the last several months here at Bethel. Because when we lack mission clarity, or when the answer to the question, what are we in the business of doing, when that answer is fuzzy, we can lose sight of what God has called us to do as a church. And when we lack vision clarity, we can find ourselves all over the place. And when we lack value clarity, we lose sight of the things that are most important to us, the things that we will stand for, the things that we will fight for. So why is it important to have clarity with our mission, vision, and values? Because without clarity, we run the risk of allowing ourselves to become all things to all people. And what I mean by that is we run the risk without clarity of somebody coming into our church and saying, hey, I think you should be doing this, or I think you should be doing that, or we should have this program, we should have that program. And if we don't have clarity, we're going to have everything, and we're going to be all over the place. I think this might sound a little bit strange too, but if we don't have clarity, we run the risk of remaining the same and just continuing to do the same thing over and over. Without a clear mission and vision, we run the risk of forgetting what we're in the business of. Love God passionately, love others intentionally, serve the world sacrificially. Colossians 3, 16 and 17 says this, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. As we look at this concept of gathered and scattered through the lens of our mission and vision that I just shared with you, it is our goal that you are able to walk away, whether that's Sunday morning or Wednesday night or Tuesday night Bible study, whatever it is, you're able to walk away with a little clearer purpose as to what we as a church are all about. But not only that, not only to learn what we're all about, but how you can be a part of it. I don't think it's our job as a church to force, to manipulate, to guilt, to shame anyone into living a gathered and scattered life. We see it as our responsibility as a church to honestly to come alongside of you, helping you, encouraging you, equipping you to live out our mission and vision. As a church, we want to be a resource and encouragement to each of you as we together strive to live out the mandates that Christ has given us in his word. Let's talk about the first part. Colossians 3:16 says this, "Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, songs of the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your heart." So I want to talk about two quick things when we talk about gathering. Two reasons that we gather as a community. And the first one is the Word of God. When we begin to ask the question, how do I love God passionately? We turn our attention to passages like this one. And it begins by saying, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly. Or it is to say, to feel at home or to be at home in you, among you. Let the riches of Christ dwell among you, the message of Christ. Let the word of God, the gospel message, be at home in us. And so when we allow traditions, when we think about us as a church, we allow traditions to dwell in us and around us, then nothing really ever changes. If we just keep doing the same thing because we do the same thing over and over. But when we allow the word of God, the holy word of God, to dwell in us, at home in us, among us, as a gathered culture, it creates this opportunity for life transformation. How do we know when the Word of God is, in fact, dwelling among us? I think we know by when you can walk into this church and you can honestly say, this church is a grace-filled community. Or when you can walk into this church and you can say, man, I when you're leaving, you can look at somebody else and say, man, the peace of God rules in that church. I think those are indicators. The second is worship, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, songs of the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. He goes on and he lists all these different opportunities of ways that we can praise him. But Jesus echoed this in John chapter 10 in the New Testament when he said, you will worship in spirit and in truth. When the Word of God dwells in us, when the Word of God is at home with us, we worship. Here's the deal. We worship from our hearts and we worship from the depth of God's word. And when we worship, the words that leave our lips, they didn't just originate there because we're making them up. They're expressed words of God's truth in us. We worship when our hearts are full of thanksgiving. Look at the last part of verse 16. It says this, singing to God with gratitude in our hearts. It's this idea when our hearts are so full because of what Christ has done in us, what Christ has done on the cross, what Christ means to us. When our hearts are so full, we can't help but through our life, wherever we're at, just worship. We demonstrate our love for God when we gather together. That's why church is so important. Because as we gather together as brothers and sisters in Christ to be encouraged, equipped, we gather to fellowship, and we gather to praise God with one voice. We also demonstrate our love for God when we scatter. And that's found in this verse 17. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So we gather as a community to worship Christ, and we scatter as that same community to be Christ. Because just as the Word dwells in us, so Christ dwells in us when we leave this place. We don't gather so we can go home and go all about our business Monday through Saturday. We gather so that we can scatter, and we scatter so that we can gather. Both are necessary as followers of Christ. Where do we scatter? And I think about that, and I think, well, just think about where you go as soon as you leave this building. Right? We scatter into restaurants. We scatter into our homes. We scatter into our neighborhoods. We scatter into our schools. We scatter into our businesses. We scatter into our families as we allow Christ to live in us and through us. We go for him to reflect Christ, to be the hands and feet of Christ, to speak for him, to go for him. Everything we do, Scripture says, to do it in the name of Jesus. Everything, from the time that our feet hit the floor to the time that our head hits the pillow in the evening. At this time, I'm going to invite Pastor Jonas Bundy to come up just to share just a little bit. We just found out why one of the chairs is so wobbly. It has nothing to do with us. It's just a screw is missing.
There's a screw loose in the chair, too.
There's a screw loose in the chair. Yeah.
Remember our deal, though. We can't just tell jokes the whole time.
Right. Yeah. You should have been here the first service.
That whole trust fall thing didn't work.
It didn't work, yeah. So let me just say, who are you and what do you do? And let me take some notes while you're telling me.
Wow. Andy and I met 2 years ago. My name is Jonas Bundy. I'm married to Greta, and we came to Fargo in 2009, right after the flood of 2009. And it's an interesting part of our story that while I was attending Dallas Seminary in Dallas, Texas, one of Greta's strongest prayer requests was, God, please get us a good job, and please make it somewhere not so hot. And we hit it out of the park, y'all. I mean, this is awesome. And when I first came, I had a really confusing job title. I was a pastor of missional development. Most of us didn't know what that meant, but it was a cute title. And real quickly, I said, can we just call it like equipping or something more generic? Because I do a lot of stuff, and it's weird to tell people missional. And we did that. And I've overseen a lot of things, Andy. And really, when I say that, y'all, I just got to serve a lot of different people. And global outreach, small groups, different things. Today, what I get to do is I have the privilege of leading and investing in people who are out doing things as it relates to our communication work of the church, both internal and external, our local outreach efforts, and then our connecting ministries. And it's just a thrill.
Yeah. Well, thanks for allowing me to be in your seat, because a lot of times you're in this seat as a communications director asking the questions, and I'm having fun with this. So we might have to fight over this,
I know.
The next time. So tell us a little bit more about that first impressions concept, that idea of really kind of looking through the eyes of a new person.
Yeah, a couple of years ago when you came, one of the things we recognized was that we needed to hire, and we needed to reorg a little bit better. And Craig is just phenomenal at the small groups, adult equipping stuff that I had been doing. And so that just was a natural fit. And that then freed me up to do some work as it relates to helping create or encourage this connecting fabric that exists within the church. You know, this idea of that we're in this together. So we formed a first impressions team right away. And my mandate was to try to think like a visitor. And that's really hard to do 8 years into a place. But we brought in some professionals, so an interior designer. We brought in people who work in nonprofit work. We asked them to just, you know, don't hold back. Say what you think. And it has been incredible to see some of the things that we have started to re-see again and to be about this work of trying to help this just be one of the most welcoming places we want it to be.
Yeah. I think when we attend a church for a while, we start taking things for granted and we don't notice things. And I remember you telling me the story about
one of the professionals, she does this for a living, but you had her literally go outside of the door, the one door where 75% of our people come in.
We counted that.
You had her go outside that door, and you said, just walk in with different eyes and tell me what you see as a visitor. And she walked in, and she just started pointing at things. That needs to change. That needs to change. You don't have this here. You don't have that here. And that was really eye-opening for us, because as you've been here for a while, we take everything for granted. We know where everything's at. So that was really helpful.
And now, as part of our About Bethel work that we do, I take folks on a tour. So if you see About Bethel and you just kind of wonder where stuff is, come to About Bethel class. I'll show you around the building. Because we just took it for granted that you guys all know that we have a prayer chapel out that door. And I forgot that my first month, it took like, you know, a guy going out of his way to show me where that was. Yeah. So it's fun.
I realize I just skipped the second question already. Did you realize that?
I was going to let you just sit on it.
Okay.
What is it?
I'll make one up. Just keep going. Jonas.
Yeah.
What else do you want to say? Seriously.
We're having fun. I took a lot of notes because, y'all, I could talk for a long time.
Yeah. That's why I did this.
I know. We won't tell how long your sermon was last week. But the, you know, one of the things that we're trying to do out in these common areas is to create spaces for people to collide. And not literally collide, but metaphorically collide. We want to create opportunities, and we're going to experiment with stuff, y'all. We're going to change things. We're going to look at ways that we can help people naturally connect with each other. Because there are patterns, and there are things that we can do to help you get to know each other. And one of my passions, Andy, is we get to create the church that we love. And so in thinking like a visitor, you know, coming in, like, y'all, we're not trying to assimilate you to just be a ditto of what we're doing, but we want to integrate into something that's more beautiful and more like Christ. And so that cultures start to get created. You put two or three people in a room, and all of a sudden they have preferences. And when you're with those people, you do these things, and you create some norms of what we like and we don't like and this kind of stuff. And we want to create a culture here where people love Jesus. And that grace is the currency that we're trading in. And that when you come here, you just feel the love of Christ and that you're on mission with him. So one of the things we talked about, Andy, at the back of the door was, how do we help people get in? Then how do we get people back out? And as we get people back out, here's one of my things, and I think it's become our thing. We don't want to be a bumper sticker church. And I think of that in the Cars movie. You have this old town that's kind of broken down and this kind of thing, and they get all the town all ready for a visitor, but nobody comes there. And finally, somebody accidentally comes there, and an overzealous community member runs up and slaps him on the bumper with a bumper sticker that says, "I visited your town." I don't want to be that kind of ministry. I want to be the kind of ministry that when we see God at work, we can fuel that work in local outreach. So you heard a lot through the last couple summers about Master's Heart Ministries and Summer Hope and this kind of thing. Y'all, we are behind that 100%. We are funding that as much as we possibly can. When Jail Chaplains does an event at Thunder Road and they're a ministry partner of ours, it's us, y'all, that are out there serving, but we don't have to put our bumper sticker on it. We want the bumper sticker to be, "I saw Jesus" in those people. And we don't care who gets the credit. We want Jesus to get the credit. Because when Jesus gets the credit, we win. And that's a huge movement. That's a passion of mine in local outreach, that we do that better and better. Hmm. And like the serve booklet,
yep.
You know, that's those really kinds awesome. Of things.
You say "you all" a lot. Is that because you live in South Fargo? Or? Sorry. This says share an example. I think we've already done that. Hey, I'm going to do something I did the first service, because I got a little bit. So here's what I did, and you may feel comfortable with this, you may not. So you don't have to participate in this. This is an invitation for you to do this because I think it was really eye opening for me and for other folks. So if you have been here at Bethel Church 25 years or more, would you stand up? So everybody just kind of look around, 25 years or more. Let's thank them. So right now, you're probably thinking, I know he's going to keep going, so you're asking people around you, how long have we been here? Let's go 15 years. 15 years. Awesome. Thank you. How about 5 years? That was our largest, 5 years or more. Yeah. Awesome. How about within the last 2 years? So you're fairly new, like me, like I'll stand, like within the last 2 years. Anybody? Okay. So as different groups of those people stood, guys, look around and start to look at some faces and say, you know what, I don't think I've met that person. And make an effort, maybe kind of the two-minute rule after the service of just going up and introducing yourself. Say, hey, I don't think we've met yet. Is a good question to ask.
A much better question than I've asked of like, so are you new here?
Yeah.
And then you find out they've been here 25 years and I'm on staff. Definitely. Yeah. What you said is better.
I'm learning that this morning. Yeah. So what are you most excited about when you look at the fall?
So for me, it goes back to that creating the church that we love. Again, we naturally will have norms and patterns and this kind of stuff. Y'all, we have an opportunity. We see increases in attendance pretty significant when school starts back up and then around Christmas and Easter. Our Creaster friends come, you know, Christmas and Easter. And what kind of church do we want? Like, let's be intentional about that. Let's be that grace-filled place. And it's really not that hard. I mean, it starts from a heart that says, God, would you make me that kind of person? And would you help me to see the little things? I know you and I have talked about this, but it's as easy as, you know, when I'm not on stage, A3 is my row, y'all. Don't sit there. But when I'm not up here... Wow. You know, I've got to, I know. But
can
some
Greta
of you guys,
sit there? Greta's
okay.
Sit in there.
Yeah. But, okay. But think about in putting on that lens of a visitor, when you come in, I mean, key visitor seats, they're your favorite seats. They're along the edge. Yep. You know, they're in the back row, these kinds of places. And it's as simple as saying to myself, could I move in a seat or two? You know, maybe it's not my favorite, but could I? And don't feel guilty if you're on the end. I get it. We all have our reasons. But when you can do that, you know, and honestly, Andy, it's that moving from they thinking. Like, I wish Bethel Church would do this. I was saying that the other day, and then I looked in the mirror, and I'm like, you're Bethel Church. Yeah. So really, you're saying, I wish we would do this. And getting rid of the they thinking and bringing it back to us. Y'all, this is us. We get to do this. I'm from South Fargo, y'all. You know, we all get to do this. But it's simple. It's the simplest thing from like where you sit, where you park.
Yeah, that's a good
one. You know, if you always have the best parking spot at church, could you pray about that? You know, John Chris says, check your heart. Check your heart, all right? Because there's probably somebody who's never come here and this is a confusing place, and let's give them the best seat. When you see garbage in the parking lot, could you just pick it up? If you notice somebody new in your section, could you own that and just say, hey, I don't recognize you. My name's Jonas, not but your name. And become an invitational culture. And here's why. Because it will absolutely rock your world. It'll bless you. You'll be surprised. You'll be embarrassed sometimes, like I've been. Like, hey, how long you been coming here? My wife and I started this church. You know, that kind of stuff. Now, we know they weren't telling the truth because we're 125
really
years old.
You're really old.
But you know what I mean? Like, but getting over that and just invite and see. Because I've heard the coolest stories. We were in About Bethel this last week, and we've got people that, you know, they're just checking us out. They've been here a few years, and they're kind of hanging out in the shadows and because this is a safe place to do that. But as we've invited you in, you know, and they're taking that step of faith, and it's cool to see God work.
Yeah. Thanks for all you do. How can we as a church come alongside of you? How can we help you succeed in some of the things that you've shared?
Yeah. I want to try to be funny, but.
You can try.
It's not just looks, y'all. I really can be funny. Could you lean into that? I mean, could you just say that prayer as simple as like, God, help me to notice somebody today that maybe isn't noticed. Mm. You will notice if you choose, in our bulletin, that's my prayer request for this week. God, help me to see the disconnected person. Disconnected from you, disconnected from us, and help me to engage them. Because if you or I don't do it, nobody else is going to do it. And God may have you here this week just for that. I heard something from somebody first hour, and I went, I think that's why I came to church today. No offense. Awesome. I mean, your sermon's been good, but.
Yeah, thank you.
I think that's why I was here.
We'll talk about that tomorrow.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, that's really good. Because I think when we come in, and like, oh, I got to get to ABF, or I got to get to church service, or I got to get there because I'm serving there. We put these blinders on to maybe what God's up to, and to really come in with our eyes wide open and say, God, how do you want to use me? How do you want to use me today?
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah.
Jonas Bundy, let's thank him. So Gary, kind of the same thing we've been following. Tell us who you are and what ministries you oversee here, Beth.
My name is Gary Seepers, and we've been privileged, my wife Cheryl and I, to be here for about 8.5 years. We came as a children's pastor at that time, and we've kind of picked up a few things along the way. I also serve as the operations director for the church now, and oversee good folks that we have leading our facility crew and finance staff and office staff. And in addition to that, I work with our global leadership council to direct the missions ministry. A few other things besides that, but that's the gist of it. Some senior associate duties overseeing different departments and staff. I keep busy.
Yeah, so the senior associate role goes along with like that old saying, if I get hit by a bus, Gary's in charge. And so in our staff meeting, it's interesting because we use a little egg timer as we do our lightning round. So you get so much time, you pass it to the next person. That's as much time you get to kind of update everybody what's going on in your ministry. But Gary has a few things he oversees, so he will secretly, as he's talking, reach over and it's in front of him, but he'll just flip it over again, and he just keeps going. And sometimes we notice, sometimes we don't. We're like, man, you know, sometimes it's like, well, Gary's been talking for a while now, but you've got a lot of ministries you oversee.
I think I get a bad rap on that.
Yeah. Yeah. So we've been talking about this gathered and scattered idea of making disciples, equipping disciples, and then this idea of scattered into our community, scattered in our workplaces, and so on. When you think about the ministries that you oversee, how does that fit in, and then to the bigger gathering, so to speak?
Mm-hmm. Well, let me start with the kids. Our motto in our children's ministry, you might have seen in our brochures and on the wall in our kids' wing and so on, is we want to help kids come to know Christ, learn to love him, be discipled, and then serve him. And one of the things that brings the most joy to my heart is to see our older elementary kids get involved in serving. We allow them to serve starting in fifth grade. They go through a process of applying and being interviewed, and they take it real seriously. But we've had just some wonderful, wonderful stories of young people in junior high, and fifth, sixth, junior high, and high school who are serving our community, not just here, but out there. We had just a real quick example of a boy who is taking it upon himself to mow yards of people in need. And I heard about that because I was visiting the people in need in the care center, and they talked about these boys from Bethel who came and ministered to them in that way. So just wonderful opportunities. We see the kids living out their faith. For our operations ministry, I get great joy from kind of helping behind the scenes to have the systems in place and see that things are well stewarded, that we're taking good care of our resources, our people, our ministries, kind of taking the stones out of the path to smooth it for so that our ministries can function well. And the last one is a joy of mine, having served overseas for 9 years, to work with our missions council and steward and strategically invest the resources. You may not be aware, but we have over 10% of our total income each year that goes to missions and goes overseas to support people and projects that will really advance the gospel.
Yeah. And the kitchen project, we've talked a little bit about that and had some videos on that. Will you be glad when that's done? Or?
Yeah, I think I will. I think I will.
I wanted to get Gary a T-shirt this morning. I forgot, but I survived the 2018 kitchen remodel. And but
we're not there yet.
We're not quite there. You know,
Yeah, it's been neat. I think you'll be real pleased with the hard work that's been done this summer in remodeling the kitchen. Yeah. It's going to add great value to all of our ministries here as a real core piece of what we do here in terms of hospitality.
When you think about the fall, fall ministry is launching here in a couple of weeks. You know, if you could narrow it down, you see oversee a lot of ministries, but what are you most excited about?
I always get excited about opportunities to expose young people, children in particular, to the Word of God. And I love to do the WANA councils and challenge the kids to think, you know, is the Bible really true? Is Jesus really God's Son? Don't tell me that you're here because mom and dad made you come. Let's own our faith to really help them develop a Christian worldview. It's a challenge today. That's not the norm. And so engaging our kids with the Word, we have been given in the new budget that was approved last Sunday a significant amount of money to increase our investment in missions and worldwide opportunities. So we're looking strategically this year at beginning some new connections in Central and South America, places where many of you could go on a short-term trip and not have to take a two-week time off for that. So we're exploring that, working on that. And then probably the last one I had here was just finishing up the kitchen. Yeah. That'll be a blessing. God has helped us each step of the way, and we're thankful for those that helped design and anyone who's been involved in that process, and those who've given as well.
So how can we, as a church, help you?
My mind always goes to a daily prayer of mine, and that's found in Luke 10:2. It's also found in Matthew. It says, "Pray to the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into the harvest field." The harvest is ready. There are so many opportunities. I know early in my ministry, I would often say, if I had 10 of me, I could not begin to meet all the opportunities there are to touch lives for Christ. The only way that will happen is that we will grow and meet those needs and minister to each other is if folks like yourselves determine what God has called you to do and answer that prayer. That you be the one to step up and say, I'm going to invest an hour of my week serving in that capacity. Not because we need volunteers, but because you need to exercise your gift for the glory of God. That's how the church was set up to function. And so that's our prayer, and I'd invite you to join me in that prayer. We are always in need of different staff roles to fill and then key volunteer positions, and ministry continues ahead. Sometimes we're not sure how we're going to do it. 300 kids show up for the Awana program. How's this going to happen? How are we going to have enough leaders, directors? But God always seems to provide. So pray with us regarding that.
Pastor Gary Seifers, let's thank him.